Why Charlie Summers believes he should replace his former boss in the U.S. Senate. Maine Secretary of State Charlie Summers, according to some recent polls, is closing the gap against independent candidate Angus King. With just over a month before Election Day, Summers is the beneficiary of an infusion of spending by GOP supporters in Washington. Much of the attention in this high-profile race has been about the ads. But today on Maine Calling, we'll talk about the issues. I'm Keith Shortall. Today we continue our series of Your Vote 2012 candidate interviews, this time with Charlie Summers, one of six candidates vying to replace retiring Republican Senator Olympia Snowe. Join the conversation, email talk@mpbn.net, post to our Facebook page, tweet at Maine Calling, or give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. A conversation with Charlie Summers, Republican for U.S. Senate. This is Maine Calling.
Broadcast of Your Vote 2012 election programming is made possible by MPBN listeners and by AARP Maine, working to protect Social Security and Medicare. More information online at aarp.org/me. By Lambert Coffin, celebrating 25 years of delivering strategic legal counsel on issues and opportunities in Maine, with offices in Portland and Blue Hill. And by Garand Marketing and Communications, serving clients here and abroad from offices in Portland, Maine, the happiest people in business, Garand.com.
Charlie Summers, welcome to Maine Calling.
It's great to be here, Keith. Good to see you.
Your impressions of last night's presidential debate, did you get to see it?
I didn't get to see it all. I was traveling, but from what I can tell, Governor Romney gave a very, very strong performance, and certainly all, it seems like the pundits have pretty much agreed on that.
As we said at the top, we're going to get to the issues today, as a lot of attention has been paid to sort of the horse race and the ads and all of that. But there's a lot on the table and a lot to be decided in Washington. A couple of news items, however, I want to ask you about. You've been recently accused by some of your opponents of ducking out of debates, of avoiding ducking out, having said, I will do these, and then pulling out a handful of debates. And some analysts have said that's because you have high negatives and your handlers might be trying to prevent you from making gaffes in public or something. That it's a strategic move to do that. Your response to
Well, I mean, first of all, there's nothing further from the truth. We've already done three debates that I participated in this campaign. We have probably 10 more debates that are scheduled. They're going to be on statewide TV, I think four of them. We have the Portland Eggs and Issues coming up. So we're going to have plenty of opportunities to bet the issues.
And you're here today taking live calls, right? Another thing that also happened today about an hour ago. Angus's wife, King's wife, Mary Herman, and some other others held a press conference at USM, the purpose of which was to suggest that you were falling short on women's issues, and specifically they say that you've changed your position on abortion. I have a clip here from that press conference at USM. This is Democratic State Representative Ann Haskell of Portland.
He has in the past said that he is pro-choice without any restrictions. However, when he's answered the papers recently, he's been saying that it is not with government funds. There's a restriction. Only in the case of rape, incest, or the life of the mother. That's a very big change from a pro-choice position. So I have concerns about the fact that his position is continuing to shift, and I don't think he can be trusted to support Roe versus Wade in the U.S. Senate.
So first of all, have you changed your position on abortion?
No, I have not, and I don't think there's anything to suggest that. I voted pro-choice. I have a pro-choice voting record. I don't think that federal funds should be used for abortions, but in my state Senate days where we're dealing with state issues, and I've had a very strong pro-choice voting record.
So you would not support overturning Roe v. Wade or efforts to change?
Roe v. Wade's the law of the land, and until the Supreme Court makes a decision on that, it will remain the law of the land. The reason I'm running in this race is to deal with the issues that are at hand as they relate to our economy as they relate to people being able to feed their families. You know, we have a $16 trillion debt that we're going to have to deal with, and if we don't deal with that, all of the other issues are going to be affected by that.
Let's get to that then. This was a big topic in last night's debate, and clearly big differences between President Obama and Mitt Romney on this issue. The debt first. What do we do to close this debt?
Well, I think the overall thing is we have to be able to grow our way out of this economy. We have to do things to keep our tax burden low. We have to do things to keep our regulatory burden reasonable so that small businesses, of which Maine has 97% of all businesses are small, we need to do things so they will know that they can expand and they can count on a tax code that is reasonable and hire people so they can pay the taxes that are necessary to support our government. I think that's critically important. And beyond that, I think we have to get our spending under control. We have to be willing to set our country on a path towards fiscal discipline so that not just today, but a generation and several generations down the road can have the opportunities that we've all known growing up in this country.
So that's the strategy for closing the debt. I'm guessing it's also the strategy for job creation?
Well, absolutely, because I think that, again, what business is looking for is a element of predictability in the tax code. It seems like every year or every 6 months we're debating whether or not tax cuts are going to be extended, things like that, and businesses won't make decisions, both on in terms of purchasing equipment, in terms of hiring people. And, you know, I don't think that we can either tax or regulate our way out of the situation that we're in. We have to do things to grow our economy.
Do you support any changes in the current tax code?
Well, I think we could have a flatter tax, a fair tax, if you will. But, you know, the immediate need, I think, is to making sure that the tax code that is in effect right now remain in effect so that we can keep taxes low on everyone so that people we're not taking money out of the economy, but we're allowing money to circulate through the economy, which is what I think will that kind of cash infusion will help us.
So, and just to be clear, you would not support, for example, lowering taxes on capital gains.
Oh, I think we could lower taxes on capital gains. The way I view it is, people, if it's whether it's somebody that works at Bath Iron Works or somebody that runs their own small business, they earn money, they pay taxes on that money, and when they invest that money, whether it's in the purchase of a home or purchase of stocks. That's a good thing. I think it should be people should be able to do that and realize those gains in a positive way.
So you believe we can cut spending and grow enough to close that deficit?
Well, I think what the important thing is we didn't get it. First of all, if you look historically, it took this country 200 years to get to an $8 trillion deficit. And in the last... excuse me, in the last 6 years, we have expanded that to $16 trillion. So I think that to suggest that there can be cuts made in a year or 2 years' time that will reverse that, that's not the case. But we have to begin putting policies in place and reducing our debt burden so that in 10, 20, 30 years from now, we can look at shrinking that down.
1-800-399-3566 to join the conversation. Our guest today is Charlie Summers, Republican candidate for U.S. Senate. We are entering the winter months. The price of gasoline seems to be staying high and not moving much at all. People are buying oil. What can Congress do, if anything, to lower the cost of energy?
Well, I think I think as a country we have a moral responsibility to look for energy resources here within our borders, whether you're talking about oil, whether you're talking about gas, natural gas, whether you're talking about coal. Those are things that I think that we can do and approaches that we can take today and begin to stop the process of us importing oil from the Middle East. You know, as someone who's served in both Iraq and Afghanistan, you realize that every day we import a barrel of oil from the Middle East is a day that we're paying the people that we're fighting against. And I don't think that is the right tone. We should have an all-of-the-above approach as long as it's something that stands on its own 2 feet. And, you know, whether we like to admit it or not, our economy is an oil-based economy. And I think technology has changed so that when we look for oil in this country, whether it's oil or it's natural gas, we can do so in an environmentally responsible way, but also in a way that I think allows us to use those resources and also provides jobs in the process.
Coal was mentioned last night in the debate as well, but states here in the East and environmentalists are concerned about coal burning out in the Midwest states, and we're at the end of the proverbial pipeline, so that there are air quality issues associated with coal. Are you confident that those can be overcome?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that, you know, we certainly, first and foremost, have to be good stewards of the environment. We all breathe the same air and for the most part, drinking the same water resources. And so any technology, we want to make sure that if it's coal, it's clean coal technology, and that we can be able to use that in an efficient way and environmentally responsible way.
Alternative energy here in Maine is getting a lot of attention and a lot of projects in development and actually working and supplying electricity to the grid. Do you support the development of alternative sources, wind, solar, tidal?
Well, I think that it's without question we should be researching alternative energy resources, but I think that given our country's fiscal situation, we're $16 trillion in debt and we're on a fiscal cliff, our energy exploration and usage should focus on things that are proven and aren't and things that can pretty much stand on their own 2 feet.
So I'm assuming you would not support, for example, tax incentives for developing those alternative sources.
Well, when you consider the return per megawatt on some of these alternative energies and how much federal subsidy has to go into the windmills, for example, or solar, for example, to make sure that they can continue on, you know, you have to ask yourself, should we be looking for other forms of energy that we can use today? And I think that that's really the question.
So how do you respond to critics who question, though, your support for continued subsidies for oil companies?
Well, I think that you look at who are the number of people that get the greatest benefit from that. I mentioned a moment ago that we have an oil-based economy. And whether it's here in Maine or it's in California or Florida or wherever the case may be, we need to have oil available so that we can have gasoline, so that we can heat our homes. And the greatest number of people see the greatest good out of that.
I guess the question is, though, do they need those subsidies? They seem to be doing pretty well.
Well, we're talking about subsidies in a very broad sense right now, and you know, if we want to drill down and so to speak, and talk about individual things, you know, we can do that probably at a later date. But I think in the large sense, we have to make sure that the American consumer has access to gasoline and oil so that they can get to work every single day. You know, we talk about our jobs and the economy. I mean, those are inextricably linked, and I think that you know, we have to do what we need to do in the immediate and in the midterm to make sure that people can feed their families.
Do you support nuclear power, expansion of nuclear power?
No, I think absolutely. I think nuclear power has to be part of the equation.
You know, the question obviously is, what do we do with the waste? Is one of the questions, and of course the safety.
Sure.
Are you convinced that we can Do it safely and, B, find a place to store the waste?
No, I think we can do it safely. You know, the United States Navy for more than 60 years has had nuclear reactors and never had an accident with that. I think technology has changed. My understanding is that in France they are beginning the process of actually recycling the spent nuclear rods on site. I believe that we need to kind of take an all-of-the-above approach.
Since we're on energy, I want to go to Twitter. We have a tweet. Clean coal, what do you mean? There is no clean coal now. How do you define it?
Well, again, I think technology is advanced, and we have the ability to use coal and reduce the sulfur emissions as much as possible, and I think that that is a track that is a reasonable track to be on.
Would you support subsidies, for example, for development of cleaner coal or subsidies in the form of tax incentives?
I would want to see exactly what you're talking about before I made a comment on that.
Let's go to health care, President's Affordable Care Act. We know that you do not support that.
Right.
What would you do to improve access, lower costs, sort of help cure all the ills that are currently befalling the U.S. healthcare system?
Well, I think there are a couple of things that can be done, and one is to allow consumers to go across state lines to purchase health insurance. I think insurance is a product, much like your car insurance or your homeowner's insurance. People today can go online and buy insurance anywhere in the country from the lowest cost provider. I think doing that introduces an element of competition. On the second part of that, I think that individuals, somebody who's a lobsterman or someone who works in the woods for themselves, they should be able to deduct the cost of those premiums, just like they do their mortgage interest. I think that that's a far less expensive alternative than the Affordable Health Care Act. I'll give the president credit for attempting to bring the issue up, but when you're talking about spending $2.6 trillion and layering a whole nother arm of the federal government on top of a $16 trillion debt, it's a little difficult to see how that's going to save money. In fact, you know, you look at Medicare, that cuts $700 billion out of Medicare, and it's predicated all on some savings in the future. I'm not convinced that we can see that, and I think that if you talk to healthcare professionals in Maine, they are worried that this is actually going to end up costing Maine more than it would ever save. And I think that the seniors who are in Medicare right now need to know that that program is going to be there for them, and we should not be speculating on that future.
All right. More on Medicare, Social Security, other issues in a moment. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we also want to hear from you. Email talk@mpbn.net, tweet at Maine Calling, post to our Facebook page, or call 1-800-399-3566. Our guest is Charlie Summers, Republican for U.S. Senate. We'll be right back.
One out of four young people in America drops out of school. Some say they're bored or don't get help from their parents. All of them will have a hard time succeeding without a high school education. I'm Andrea Seabrook. Join me for the public radio special, Left Behind, Dropping Out. We'll hear stories about the cost of the dropout crisis and the voices of people trying to make a change. Part of American Graduate, Let's Make It Happen, funded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Join us for that program Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock. As you know, many businesses and organizations in and around Maine join listeners in supporting various public radio programs on the MPBN radio service. To learn how your business can benefit from supporting MPBN, either on MPBN radio or on MPBN television, visit our website, mpbn.net. Click on Business Support to find information about the value of sponsorship, answers to frequently asked questions, and contact information, or you can call us at 1-800-884-1717 and ask for Susan Tran. And of course, thank you for your support of public broadcasting here in Maine. Broadcast of Your Vote 2012 election programming is made possible by MPBN listeners and by AARP Maine, working to protect Social Security and Medicare. More information online at aarp.org/me. By Lambert Coffin, celebrating 25 years of delivering strategic legal counsel on issues and opportunities in Maine with offices in Portland and Blue Hill. And by Garand Marketing and Communications, serving clients here and abroad from offices in Portland, Maine, the happiest people in business. Garand.com.
And welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Keith Shortall. Today, a Your Vote 2012 interview with Charlie Summers. He's Maine's Secretary of State and the Republican candidate to replace retiring Senator Olympia Snow. We'd like you to join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Email talk@mpbn.net, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We'll go to the phones in a minute. Before the break, we were talking about Medicare and Social Security. Sure. How would you structure this so that current recipients continue to get what was promised to them? Future recipients, though, might have to forego some of the same benefits. Is there an age below which we make a change?
Well, I think that certainly for those who are, for example, Social Security, that are receiving Social Security right now, or maybe, say, within a five-year window of receiving Social Security, we need to make sure that those commitments are made and lived up to. I think new people coming into the system, we may need to discuss that instead of retiring at 62 or 65, maybe 67. But I think as long as someone who is coming into the system is aware of what the changes would be, then I believe that that's probably the right way to begin to approach this. I think that those individuals who are well-to-do, we need to discuss whether or not they need to take the full benefit, because we have to make sure that those who depend on it. And Keith, I'll tell you, this is from someone who has had personal experience with that. You probably remember my first wife passed away about 15 years ago, and so I suddenly had an 8-year-old and 11-year-old that I had to be a mother and a father to, and they were the beneficiaries of Social Security benefits. So it benefited my family tremendously. So I can tell you and those listening today that I have personally understood the importance of Social Security, and I personally will make certain that I can do everything possible to make sure that Social Security is there and the people who've been promised benefits get those benefits.
1-800-399-3566. Let's go to Gorham and John. Hi, John. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Great conversation today. I'm a registered Republican, just recently moved back to Maine. And my question would be, I send our delegation to Washington to run the federal government. So my question is for Mr. Summers, how ready is he, even as a junior senator, to push back against the party leadership when, rather than run the government and fix our problems, they're just trying to grind an axe with the opposition?
Well, John, I think it's a good question. And, you hear a lot of the talk every single day, and it seems that the extremes in both parties tend to occupy the debate. But the fact of the matter is that at the end of the day, I think a senator from Maine, any senator, but particularly from Maine, has a responsibility to try and move the process forward. And although I may have disagreements with someone, I have rarely ever been disagreeable, certainly in my days in the state legislature and as Secretary of State. I realize that you have to try to find common ground, and I think that's important. My experience in life, particularly in the military, where I have had to work with people from varying backgrounds, but we had a goal to accomplish, a mission to accomplish, if you will, and we work together and do that. I think it's critically important that the next senator believe in public service to the country. I mentioned a second ago, I've served in the military, and I look at going to the United States Senate to service to the country again, and I think that the next senator has to be willing to serve our country and not a political party.
Your former boss, Olympia Snowe, mm-hmm. Had no issue with being labeled a moderate. Right. In fact, sort of wore it proudly. Would you consider yourself a moderate if you were to take that position?
Oh, I think I can certainly be moderate at times. I mean, I may have a very fiscally conservative position, which I think Senator Snowe has had, Senator Collins, and those before them. But I think at the end of the day, you have a responsibility to make sure that you're moving the process forward, and you have a responsibility to establish relationships with those, not just within your party, but those across the aisle. And I think it's fair to say that that's the way I've conducted myself in the state legislature and as Secretary of State. And I have relationships with many people on the other side of the aisle, but they are, and even though there are times when we disagree, we do so in a way that is constructive and that we can build on our relationship and build on things that need to be done for Maine.
John, any last word?
No, that's great. Thank you.
All right, let's go to...
Thank you, John.
Let's go to Orrington and Mimi. Hi, Mimi. Welcome to Maine Calling.
Thank you. A compliment and then a question.
Yeah, Mimi, we're having a difficulty hearing you. Can you speak up?
Sure. Is this better?
Much better.
Okay. A compliment and a question. I just renewed my driver's license, and the little infomercials that you had, Mr. Summers, were entertaining and helped pass the time and also informative. And you said earlier that you don't support using federal funds to pay for abortions. Does that include Medicare and Medicaid as being federal funds?
Well, I mean, what I said was, I mean, if it's federal funding issues, I think that there needs to, you need to have that discussion. I think that it's difficult when there are people of varying opinions on this issue. It's difficult to use public money in this way.
So it does include Medicaid.
Well, that's a federal fund.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify that. Thank you.
All right, Mimi. Thank you for calling. 1-800-399-3566. Let's go to Peaks Island and Henry. Hi, Henry.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead.
I had a question about Iran. In September, the Senate passed a resolution wherein it rejected any policy that would rely on efforts to contain the nuclear weapons capability. And if you had been a sitting senator, would you have voted for this resolution?
And can you repeat that one more time?
The resolution was that Senate rejected any policy that would rely on efforts to contain a nuclear weapons capable Iran. Namely, they said no, that if sanctions failed, that containment was not an option, and they would support a military use of the military option.
A use, what? So what you're saying is if sanctions or diplomatic efforts would fail,
right?
We would. You're asking me whether I would use the military in that case. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and then I would ask you that if you yes.
Okay. Well, I think that when you're talking about Iran and, you know, we know that they have all the materials for nuclear weapons, and we know that their intention, particularly with Israel, is something I think that is absolutely untenable, and I don't believe that we can allow Iran to not just develop nuclear weapons, but to actually have the ability to use those. And I think that we have to do everything we possibly can, working with countries that have influence with Iran, like China, like Russia, to try and put pressure on them to not develop those weapons. I think that, you know, we have to certainly be able to defend our interests. But I can tell you that my first inclination, having served in the Middle East and having been in combat zones, that you really, that's the absolute last resort.
But it's on the table. It's just... Right. At the far end of the table.
Yeah. I mean, you obviously need to have all options on the table. But again, you have to do everything that you possibly can to settle this in a diplomatic way, using our State Department, using our friends around the world to try and bring about the pressure necessary to ensure that they do not get nuclear capability and can then export that and use that on countries like Israel. Israel's our closest partner in the Middle East, and I think that Israel and the United States have very, very close ties, and we need to cherish those and make sure that that relationship continues.
Do you agree with the president's timetable for getting out of Afghanistan?
I think it's very difficult to set timetables because, you know, again, when I was in Iraq, when I was in Afghanistan, General Petraeus would often say that the situation on the ground needs to dictate our movements. And I think that to set arbitrary deadlines is a very, very difficult thing. And I believe that we need to work with our coalition partners to continue to try to get Afghanistan to a point where they can provide their own security.
Let's go now to, let's see, to Kennebunkport and Regan. Is it Regan?
Hi there.
Hi. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thanks for having me. I just wanted to respond to Mr. Summers' earlier comment that most healthcare providers in Maine are worried that Obamacare will increase the cost of healthcare. As a healthcare provider, I'm exposed to a number of healthcare providers all the time. And, you know, perhaps the opinion is 50-50 or something like that, but to state that most healthcare providers feel that way is simply inaccurate. And I think that the listeners need to know that.
Okay. John? But I really don't think that's the way I said it. I said many healthcare providers believe that it will end up costing Maine, but that's all right. I appreciate it,
okay.
Regan.
It'd be nice if we had some figures around that many, because I think listeners think, oh, many, like that's a lot. So maybe you could do a poll.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have also an email from Rachel who says, currently Obamacare is the only reason that I and many other young people like myself have health insurance at all. What exactly would your strategy be to combat the increases of uninsured young people in debt from college and without jobs across the nation, were Obamacare to be taken out?
Well, again, you know, I think if you're talking about young people, and I'm assuming that what she is mentioning is a female, correct?
It's Rachel, yes.
Rachel, okay. What Rachel is mentioning is, you know, young people, say, from the ages of 18 to 26. Many young people don't see the need for health insurance at this point, and so they don't buy it. Now, I'm not saying that that's the right way to look at it, but I think that we need to do things to bring the cost of health care down. During the whole debate on the president's health care plan, there was never any discussion on things like tort reform, things like medical malpractice reform, two of the largest drivers of the cost of health care. But all you have to do is look around the state. I was up in Bangor Brewer last week talking with people from the Penobscot County Healthcare Network up there, and that's a local network that is doing things to tailor their services to the healthcare needs of the greater Bangor area, and they're doing a tremendous job with that. They have facilities where you have everything from pediatric to geriatric care to dental care, really working, I think, with young people to make them understand the benefits of not only caring for themselves caring for their own health care, but their dental care. Those types of things have a big effect on people's overall health, and I think we need to look at this differently and hopefully be proactive in terms of being consumers and realize that our actions, if somebody eats a high-fat diet or drinks sodas, things that has an effect on your health.
All right, we're going to take another short break. When we come back, more of your comments and questions for Charlie Summers, Republican for U.S. Senate. Please stay with us.
Some of this year's crop of political ads follow a conventional format, but others do not, especially some of those produced by partisan PACs. This week on Main Watch, we'll discuss political advertising 2012 with Michael Franz of Bowdoin and co-author of the book Campaign Advertising and American Democracy. And we'll discuss the contest for the state legislature with leaders of both parties. Every seat is open and many incumbents are not running.
That's Main Watch tonight at 8, tomorrow at 9 on MPBN Television, and tomorrow afternoon at 12:30 here on MPBN Radio. As part of our Your Vote 2012 election coverage, MPBN Radio will be repeating last night's presidential debate from Denver this afternoon from 1 to 3. Diane Rehm will be heard an hour later than normal at 3 o'clock and offer a follow-up and analysis of the debate. The World will not be heard today. If you'd like to watch the debate, MPBN Television will be repeating the debate in its entirety this Sunday afternoon at 2:30. Again, on MPBN Radio, the debate can be heard this afternoon at 1 o'clock following main calling as part of MPBN's Your Vote 2012 election coverage.
And welcome back. I'm Keith Shortall. You're listening to Main Calling. Today on the program, a Your Vote 2012 conversation with Charlie Summers, GOP candidate for Senate. Join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Email talk at mpbn.net. Post to our Facebook page or tweet at Main Calling. And Charlie, we're having some traffic here on email and Twitter about your position on abortion, which we opened the show with. Here's an email. Charlie, at the start of the program, you indicated you've been and remain pro-choice. Could you please explain your statement in an April interview with MPBN, by the way, and several times since that you are only in favor of a woman having a right to choose when there has been a rape or incest or to save the life of the mother?
Well, I think it was a conversation where I said that the reason that I am pro-choice, specifically for three reasons, the rape, incest, life of the mother, I think that those are instances that among others, when something like that may be necessary. But, I think all one needs to do is look at my voting record in the Maine legislature, and I have a solidly pro-choice voting record.
So it's those conditions and others is what you're saying.
Well, sure. Someone asked me why, and initially, it's issues like that. But, at the end of the day, I think it's very difficult to have the government in someone's private life.
Let's go to Brooklyn and Peter. Hi, Peter.
Hello.
Yes. Hi, Peter. Go ahead, please.
Hello. Hi.
Yes, Peter. Go ahead, please.
Yes. My question is about foreign policy and ethics. And the question, we are spending considerable amounts of American treasure as well as blood to foster democracy elsewhere around the world. And the first principle for democracy is that the people who run the elections are not the candidates. And my question is, how, as a United States senator, can you in good conscience vote to spend American blood and treasure to protect democracy when you're not following that first principle in your election right now?
I guess I'm not sure what Peter's asking.
Peter, want to try again?
Well, you are the Secretary of State, which means that you certify the election results on the one hand.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, you're a candidate. and it's like the fox guarding the hen house.
Yeah, is there a conflict there, Charlie?
No, there's no conflict. In fact, working in my office, Julie Flynn is the Deputy Secretary of State in charge of the Bureau of Elections. She's been in charge for 17 years, does an amazing job, and I have absolutely every confidence in her abilities and my office's ability to conduct elections fairly.
Do you recuse yourself from issues directly affecting you? How does that work?
Well, certainly if it came down in this election to a recount in my election or something like that, obviously I would not participate.
Let's go to Bath and Mariah. Hi, Mariah.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, please.
I'm here. Thank you. Hello, Secretary of State Charlie. Two things.
Hi, Mariah.
We served together in the legislature, and you were opposed to even elementary gay rights then, not marriage. I hope you have changed your mind on that.
Let's ask him right now, Mariah. Do you support same-sex marriage?
No, I believe traditional marriage. I grew up believing or that marriage is between a man and a woman. I do think that individuals, though, if they care for one another, have their right to enter into a contract or a civil union, whatever terminology that you want to use.
Sorry to cut you off, Mariah. Go ahead, please.
Are you still a pro-nuclear person for power? Have you come to see the high-level waste site in Wisconsin on our shore?
Yeah, we already said
no
that you...
Place to go.
Yeah. I've been to Wiscasset, but, Mariah, I think that, as I mentioned before, we need to have an all-of-the-above strategy, and part of that is nuclear. I think that, things have improved in terms of technology and our ability to manage that, and, I think when countries such as France have, multiple nuclear reactors and are doing so in a very responsible way, it's a matter not just of our economic security to have a power source that is reliable. It's a matter of our national security, and I think that we need to look at this in an all-of-the-above strategy.
Let's go to Alna and Gloria. Hi, Gloria.
Oh, this is Aetna.
Oh, sorry.
How would Mr. Summers respond to Grover Norquist's request that all Republicans sign a pledge not to raise taxes?
How would I respond to
would
that?
Would you take the pledge?
Yes, I've taken the pledge, and I think it's a pledge not to ensure that there are no new net taxes. And as I look at the situation our country is in, I don't believe that we're in a tax problem. We're in a spending problem, and I believe that we need to do everything we can at the beginning to deal with our spending problem that we have in this country before any discussion on revenues comes up.
But as you know, there are those who question whether we can do this without raising revenues,
right,
given the costs of wars, at oil, et cetera.
Well, I can tell you that, when you hear a number of very reasonable sounding proposals, $10 in cuts for $1 in taxes raised. But I've seen that over decades be proposed in the past, and usually it inverts itself, and you end up with $10 in taxes and $1 in spending cuts that are thrown out 4 or 5 or 10 years down the road, and they never materialize. Then we find ourselves right back in the same situation that we were the prior year or the prior discussion. I think that what we need to be doing is keeping our tax burden low. We need to keep our regulatory burden reasonable so that businesses, small businesses in particular, can help us grow our way out of this economy. We need to put people to work. Our unemployment rate has been over 8% for 43 straight months. You look at veterans issues. You look at veterans unemployment rates. In among female veterans, unemployment is in the 20s, the low 20s. That is of great concern to me as a United States Senator, and we need to be doing things to expand opportunities so people can have jobs and feed their families.
All right, let's go to Brunswick and Whit. Hi, Whit.
Hi, Keith. How are you?
Good.
Hello, Mr. Summers.
Hi, Whit.
One issue that keeps being overlooked with the energy debate is just simply using less is the best thing that Maine can do. With Efficiency Maine and Maine State Housing over the last 3 years, the population in Maine saved $7 million a year, and that's every year for those houses until the houses are torn down or fuel prices go up. The average house saves about 30% of their consumption when weatherized properly. Also, that money that's saved goes directly into the local economies in two ways. One, it has created thousands of local jobs. And two, when a home saves $800 to $850 a year, which is the average, that goes right into the local pizza shops and shoe stores.
Yeah. What's your question real quick? We're running out of time.
Why is not efficiency being pushed as hard as clean coal or nuclear or more drilling?
Charlie?
Well, I mean, I certainly would not get an argument out of me in terms of being more efficient and using what we have more efficiently and conserving. I think that is a reasonable thing.
One more question, and then that may run out of time here, but we'll try Susan in Bangor. Hi, Susan.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Mr. Summers, I heard you say that you are a supporter of traditional marriage, and I'm wondering which view of traditional marriage you are referring to, since you are aware that the definition of marriage and the rights conferred by marriage have changed over time, or is that an assumption that's incorrect? For example, married women did not used to be able to own property
I'm talking about marriage between a man and a woman, marriage that we know today.
But you've acknowledged that you would be willing to give some kind of right to gay and lesbian couples so that they could have all the same rights as marriage?
Are you talking about civil unions?
Yes.
Sure.
So why wouldn't you call it marriage? Why set up a separate but equal when we know that won't succeed in the Supreme Court?
You asked me my opinion on this, and my opinion is that I believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. I don't deny that if they're two individuals who care for each other and they want to make decisions on behalf of each other, they should certainly have the right to do that. But I appreciate your call.
I got one last question here. We said we wouldn't talk about the ads. We got to a lot of issues. Sure. That's good. But are these ads making a difference in political races in ways that they have not in years past? Negative ads never used to work in Maine, and people were reluctant to use them. Are we in a new era, or is that just that the Senate race has so much at stake?
Well, we obviously have a lot at stake, and I think that negative advertising is sometimes in the eye of the beholder. In the case of this race, there's been a lot of discussion about ads that have highlighted the fact that Governor King took a $300 million surplus and turned it into a billion-dollar shortfall. Although sometimes are stubborn facts, they are the facts.
He points to a bad economy, but anyway.
Well, but when you increase spending by almost 60% at that same time, and that is something that I think that is fair to question. They'll question my record. They have this afternoon, and I think we'll continue vetting those things over the next 30-some-odd days.
That's right. We've got a month to go, It's going to heat up. Charlie Summers, Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you. I appreciate it very, very much. Look forward to coming back.
We'll be speaking with or have spoken to all of the candidates on the ballot for U.S. Senate and the House of Representatives in our Your Vote 2012 coverage here on Maine Calling. Also at the Your Vote 2012 MPBN webpage. Go to mpbn.net and click on the Your Vote 2012 banner. Today's program produced by Jonathan Smith. Our volunteer Lucas Randall Owens answered your calls. John Keimel ran the board, and we had help from the MPBN web team. I'm Keith Shortall. You've been listening to Maine Calling on the Maine Public Broadcasting Network.